I want you to close your eyes for a second. Unless you're driving, please don't close your eyes if you're driving. And I want you to imagine the sound of a factory floor. A real old-school metal fabrication shop.
Oh, I can hear it already. The hum of the CNC machines, the clanging of sheet metal, forklifts beeping in the background.
Sure, yeah, that's the background noise. But what's the one sound that just cuts through everything? The most annoying, high-pitched, teeth-rattling sound in the whole
Oh,
place.
that's easy. It's the angle grinder. That screech of an abrasive disc on a steel weld, it's the soundtrack of a headache.
It is, exactly. It is the sound of inefficiency. And surprisingly, that screeching noise is where we're starting our deep dive today. We've got a stack of technical docs, engineering schematics, and industry analysis on the table, all about one machine, the PayaPress cold form corner machine.
And I know corner machine sounds a bit niche.
It does, but stick with us.
It's tackling a totally universal problem in manufacturing.
Right. Usually, when we do these deep dives, we're talking about adding capabilities. You know, adding AI, adding speed, adding new features. But this one's fascinating because it's all about subtraction.
Subtracting the noise, subtracting the heat, and, for the business side of things, subtracting the labor.
We are looking at a massive shift in how a really basic object is made, the electrical cabinet. That beige or gray metal box you see in your basement, in every office hallway, every factory.
They're everywhere.
Totally mundane, right? But the way those corners are formed is the battleground for a revolution in industrial economics. The source material calls it a seamless revolution.
And for once in the world of marketing, the word seamless is actually technically accurate. It's literal.
So here's our mission today. We're going to explore how this machine proposes to kill the old way of making these boxes, which is this messy trio of cutting, welding, and grinding, and replace it with a cold forming process.
And we need to figure out if it's actually stronger, like the documents claim, or if it's just, cosmetic.
I really want to get under the hood on that. There are some really specific engineering choices here. Stepper motors, pneumatic pins that we need to unpack to see how this all works.
Definitely.
Okay, I'm ready to geek out. But first, let's set the stakes. To really understand why this is a revolution, we have to understand the tyranny of the status quo. If I'm a manufacturer yesterday, before this thing hits my floor, walk me through it. I have a flat sheet of steel. I need a box. What's the problem?
Okay, so visualize the geometry. You start with a flat sheet. You need to bend up four sides to make a cabinet.
Oh, right.
But if you just fold the sides up, what happens at the
They
corner?
crash into each other. Yeah, you
Yeah.
can't have two pieces of metal in the same space.
Exactly. They overlap or they bind. So the traditional solution, the way we've done it for decades, is the cut and weld method. Step one, you have to notch the corners of that flat sheet.
You're physically cutting a square out.
You're removing material so that when you fold the sides up, the edges meet perfectly.
Okay, so now I have a box shape, but the corners are just, they're open seams where the metal touches.
Right. And for an electrical cabinet, that's a total non-starter. You need it to be NEMA-rated, IP-rated, basically, sealed against dust and moisture
And fingers, yeah.
and fingers. So step two, you bring in the welder. You have to literally fuse those two edges together with a ton of heat.
And this is where the trouble really starts, isn't it?
It is. Welding is. It's a violent process, metallurgically speaking. You're melting the base material, you're adding filler, you create this bead. Basically, a scar of metal along that corner. It's bumpy, it's ugly, it's raised.
And you can't just paint over a lump and call it a premium cabinet.
No way. So you move to step three, grinding. You pay a human being to stand there with that screaming angle grinder and just sand that metal bead down until it's
Oh,
flush.
wait, just to track the economics here, which is what I find so wild. I paid someone to cut the metal out, then I paid a skilled welder to put metal back, and now I'm paying a third person to grind away the work the welder just did.
That is the irony of the whole process. You are literally paying to remove material you just paid to add. And it's expensive. You've got consumables, welding gas, wire, grinding discs.
Right.
But the biggest cost is the skilled labor.
We hear about the trades gap all the time.
Constantly. Welders are hard to find, they're expensive. And grinding. Grinding is just dirty, loud, awful work. It's often the bottleneck of the entire factory because nobody wants to do it, and it takes forever to get it perfect.
Okay, so that is the traditional headache. Enter the PayaPress cold form corner machine. The documents make a really bold claim right up front. It eliminates the welding process entirely.
Entirely. No heat, no spark, no wire. Gone.
I want to push back on this because my brain is stuck on the geometry. If you don't weld it, how is it a box? Is it just folded over like origami? How does it stay sealed?
This is where we have to understand cold forming. It's not just simple folding. The machine uses a specialized die and punch system to literally stretch and flow the metal into a closed corner shape.
Flow, but it's steel.
Steel is plastic if you apply enough force in just the right way. The machine takes the excess material that you would normally cut away, and instead of removing it, it manipulates it. It forces the metal to flow into the shape of a seamless rounded corner.
So it's plastic deformation.
Exactly that.
Right.
There was no gap to weld because the metal was never separated in the first place. It's continuous.
And because there's no weld bead.
There is no grinding. The part comes out of the machine with a smooth, finished radius. It's ready for paint immediately.
That is a massive operational shortcut. But I saw something in the technical specs that surprised me. Usually, when you find a shortcut in manufacturing, you pay for it in quality. You know, fast, cheap, good pick too.
Right.
But the sources claim this cold-formed corner is actually stronger than a welded corner. How is that even possible? A weld is fused metal.
It's a common misconception that a weld is always the strongest point. Think about what heat does to metal. When you weld, you create what engineers call a heat-affected zone, or HAZ.
A heat-affected zone. That sounds like a sci-fi thriller.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
The extreme temperature change creates this localized change in the grain structure of the steel. It can make the area right next to the weld brittle. It introduces thermal stress.
So the weld itself might be hard, but the metal right next to it has been compromised.
It's been compromised, exactly. It can create a potential weak point.
Huh.
But with cold forming, you're keeping the grain structure of the sheet metal totally intact. You're cold working it. In metallurgy, when you cold work steel bend it, compress it without heat, you trigger a phenomenon called work hardening.
Okay.
It actually increases the hardness and the yield strength of the material right there in that corner.
So the metal flows around the corner like the grain in a piece of bent wood instead of being chopped and glued back together.
That is a perfect analogy. The structural integrity is continuous, so you end up with a box that is physically more rigid and resistant to impact without having cooked the metallurgy.
Okay, I'm sold on the why. It's cheaper, no welding, no grinding, and it's stronger. Now I want to look under the hood. How does the machine actually do this? Bending metal to a perfect 90-degree closed corner without cracking it? That sounds like it requires serious precision.
It does. And the Paya press isn't just a brute force hydraulic press. The documents highlight a very specific piece of tech. A stepper motor. It's used for the punch angle control.
Why a stepper motor? Why not just a normal induction motor?
It's all about control. A stepper motor moves in these discrete, countable steps. It lets the machine's computer know exactly where the tool is at any given millisecond. So it allows for a precise control down to fractions of a degree.
So it's not just push until it hits a stop. It's move exactly 45.2 degrees.
Precisely. And that's what gives you the seamless look. If you're off by a hair, the metal creates a burr or a gap.
But there's another feature listed here that I found really interesting. The secure locking system with a pneumatic pin.
I saw that in the specs. It sounds like a safety feature. It is, but it's also a quality feature. Think about it. The stepper motor positions the tool, but motors can have a tiny bit of give or play under the massive load of bending steel.
Okay.
The pneumatic pin is a mechanical lock. Once the angle is set, this pin shoots in and physically locks the assembly in place.
So it freezes the geometry right before the massive force is applied.
Exactly. It ensures total stability. It means the tool cannot wiggle while it's crunching that steel. That's how they get that consistency, where every corner looks identical.
Let's talk materials, because electrical cabinets aren't made of tinfoil. What can this machine handle?
The versatility is surprisingly high. The spec sheet lists support for sheet thicknesses of 1.25 millimeter, 1.5 millimeters, and up to 2 millimeters.
Is 2 millimeter considered heavy duty for this?
For electrical enclosures, yes. That's substantial steel. That covers the vast majority of commercial and industrial cabinets. If you're building a server rack or a breaker box, you're in that 1.5 to 2 millimeter range. The fact that it can cold form 2 millimeter steel, that speaks to the tonnage and the rigidity of the frame.
And it's not just a dumb machine, is it? I see references to an NC system and a PLC.
Right, it has a brain. NC is numeric control. PLC is a programmable logic controller. This is pretty standard in high-end manufacturing. But what matters here is the HMI, the human-machine interface. It's got a touchscreen.
Which basically turns a complex metallurgical process into an app.
In a way, yeah. The operator isn't adjusting valves or turning screws. They're punching in numbers on a screen. For instance, the docs mention lubrication timing.
Why does lubrication timing matter so much?
Cold forming generates a ton of friction, metal on metal under high pressure. If you don't lube it, the tool wears out, or worse, the metal tears.
Yeah.
So the machine automates this. The operator sets the timing, and the machine keeps itself lubricated. It takes human error out of the equation.
And the design itself, the source material, calls it modern industrial design. Is that just marketing fluff?
No, I think it matters for longevity. A sturdy mechanical structure means the frame doesn't flex. If your machine frame is flexing every time it hits the metal, you lose precision, and eventually the machine just shakes itself apart. This thing is built to sit on a factory floor for 20 years.
Speaking of the factory floor, let's talk about the human element. We said it's hard to find welders, but usually these high-tech machines, they require a PhD to operate.
That's the traditional barrier, right?
Yeah.
You buy a $1 million machine, and then you can't find anyone who knows how to program it.
But the pay press has a feature for punch replacement, that sounds. Well, I'm calling it the one-screw wonder. The docs just say it takes 3 steps.
It is a wonder, though. In a lot of machines, changing the tooling, switching from, say, a 1.5 millimeter steel setup to 2 millimeter, it's a nightmare. You have to unbolt a ring of screws, realign everything, shim it, test it.
It could take an hour.
An hour. Easy. But here, step one, loosen one screw, just one. Step two, place the punch. Step three, reference it. Basically tell the computer, hey, I'm new. That's it.
So we're talking minutes, not hours.
Maybe even seconds, once you're good at it.
And the implication for the workforce is just huge. You don't need a highly skilled operator.
Precisely. You don't need a master craftsman. You need a general operator who can follow a 3-step process. This democratizes the quality. You get the same perfect corner whether the operator has been there for 10 years or 10 days.
That solves the labor shortage problem right there.
Yeah.
You aren't hunting for unicorns. You're hiring reliable people and giving them a really smart tool.
And don't forget the automatic punch rotation.
Mm-hmm.
The machine moves the tool into position itself. It drives the cycle time down. The whole thing is built for speed.
However, and this is the part where I get a little suspicious. Usually if a machine is this good, everyone makes one. And usually someone makes a cheaper one.
That is always true. The market hates a vacuum.
The source material actually brings this up. It mentions simplified market alternatives. Now, simplified is a very polite word, isn't it?
It's a polite way of saying cut rate engineering. The expert analysis in our notes points out a specific, really critical flaw in some of these competitor machines. They rely on mechanical flexibility caused by intentionally weakened columns.
Intentionally weakened columns? That sounds terrifying. Why would you weaken a column on purpose? That sounds like building a house on a wobbly foundation.
It does, right? It's a shortcut to solve alignment issues. If you can't afford high-precision motors and rigid alignment, you build a machine so it's a little bit floppy.
Yeah.
You allow the frame to bend slightly to accommodate the metal.
Like a suspension bridge versus a concrete block?
A little bit. Or think of a paperclip. You can bend it back and forth a few times, it's fine. But what happens if you bend it back and forth 1,000 times?
It snaps. Metal fatigue.
Exactly. In heavy machinery, flexibility is the enemy of longevity. If the column is flexing, the bearings are taking uneven loads. The accuracy drifts. A flexible machine might work great on day one, but on day 500, not so much.
So PayaPress went the other way.
They went with rigidity.
Yeah.
Robust engineering. They don't want the machine to move a single micron that it isn't supposed to.
So the column doesn't wobble.
No. And the result is higher bending precision, because
yeah.
The tool goes exactly where it's told, and a much longer life for all the components. You pay for the steel and the engineering up front, but you aren't replacing bearings every 6 months.
It's the classic buy nice or buy twice scenario.
It really is.
Okay, so we've established this machine is a beast. It's precise, it's strong, it solves the welding problem. But I want to play devil's advocate here. Is this machine the magic bullet for every shop? If I'm running a small custom fab shop in my garage, should I buy one of these?
I'm glad you asked that, because the source material is surprisingly honest about the limitations. It's not a sales pitch saying everyone needs this. The answer is a clear no. It is not for everyone.
Why not? It saves time and labor.
It saves time in the process, but you have to look at the setup. The machine is designed for mass production and series manufacturing.
Series manufacturing, so doing the same thing over and over again.
Cool.
A lot.
Correct. Imagine you get a contract to build 5,000 electrical boxes for a new skyscraper, all identical. You set this machine up once, and you just feed it metal all day. It will chew through that order at incredible speed.
And the savings would be astronomical.
Exactly. But what if you're a job shop? Monday, you're making a tiny control box. Tuesday, a huge locker. Wednesday, you're switching from 2mm steel to 1.25mm.
I see the problem. Even though the punch changes fast, that one screw feature, if you're stopping the line every 10 minutes to reconfigure, you're killing your throughput.
The machine is just sitting idle while you fiddle with the touchscreen. In a high-mix, low-volume shop, the flexibility of a human welder might actually be superior. A human can look at a weird custom joint and just weld it. They don't need a program.
So this is a tool for scaling.
It is absolutely a volume game. It's for manufacturers who want to move from being a workshop to being a factory.
That makes perfect sense. It's like a printing press. You don't set up a massive offset press to print one birthday card. You use it to print 10,000 magazines.
That's a perfect analogy. If you're printing the magazine, this is the machine you want.
Okay, let's bring this all together. We started with the noise and the grit of the old way, the cutting, welding, grinding, and we've arrived at this cold, quiet, precise future.
The seamless revolution.
If you had to summarize the impact of this machine in one sentence for a manufacturing CEO, someone just looking at their bottom line, what would it be?
I would say, it transforms a production bottleneck into a competitive advantage by trading labor-intensive artistry for repeatable structural engineering.
Trading artistry for engineering. I like that. Because welding is an art. It takes a steady hand, years of practice, but maybe we don't need art in the corner of a utility box.
We don't. We need consistency, we need strength, and we need cost efficiency. By removing the consumables, the post-processing, you're stripping cost out of the product while making it better. That's the holy grail of manufacturing.
And you get a better-looking box.
A smooth, seamless finish that looks like it was molded, not stitched together.
So here's my final thought for you listening. We talk a lot on the show about big tech, AI, software, rockets, but sometimes innovation just looks like a gray metal box on a wall.
Invisible quality.
Exactly. The next time you're near an electrical cabinet, maybe walking down the hallway at work or checking a breaker in your basement, take a close look at the corner.
Really get close. Look at it.
If you see a rough patch or swirl marks from a grinder or just a painted over lump, you know that was made the old way. Someone sweated over that corner. Someone inhaled grinding dust for that corner.
But if it's perfectly smooth.
If it's continuous, seamless, and looks like liquid metal frozen in time, you're looking at the result of cold forming. You're looking at a piece of modern efficiency hiding in plain sight.
It's a hidden detail that signals this massive leap in how we make the world around us.
And honestly, knowing that makes the mundane just a little bit more magical. Thanks for diving deep with us today. Keep looking at the corners, everyone.
See you next time.